This is Michael O'Keefe for CKUT 90.3 FM. Ignore it, and it will go away. Warning, those who fantasize about characters on Oz, this report need not apply to the fantasy world of your TV. Recommendations were developed by the Expert Committee on AIDS in Prison in 1991. Among the recommendations were that anonymous testing would be in place in all institutions, safe tattooing equipment be provided or permitted inside the institutions, that needle exchanges would be implemented, that methadone and some substance abuse treatment programs be developed and maintained, that condoms and water-based lubricants would be available as well as bleach for the sterilization of needles that do exist in institutions. 11 years later, most recommendations have not been implemented. Maybe the problem went away.
Well, Corrections Canada themselves has had to admit that they have a major problem in that it is, in the case of HIV, 10 times that per capita in the country, and that hepatitis C is well above that.
Right.
To the point that I think it's in excess of 40% in one women's institution in Alberta.
Mm-hmm.
Needles do get in through a number of different means. You have to remember that we have some rather adept thieves that are in our prison system, and if they're in the healthcare unit and they get even a half a chance to get something, they will. Those needles will be passed around for years in some cases, filed down with the striker portion of a matchbook until they're less than half the original length of the needle. Other needles are made from the inside glass fine tube inside a light bulb. So there are a number of issues around the needles that are currently in institutions in addition to just the transmission of HIV and Hep C.
That was Michael Linhart. He's an HIV-positive gay man. He has spent 11 years in Canadian federal correction system. He's been battling Corrections Canada and British Columbia's provincial corrections to ensure that HIV-positive prisoners receive the same standard of care as HIV-positive people get on the outside. Now, maybe our correction system can't figure out what to do. A lack of imagination. They wouldn't simply stand around arguing for 11 years while people become ill and die. The problem mustn't be that serious.
We know that in prison systems everywhere, the rates of HIV and hepatitis C virus are fairly high, and in some prison systems they are 100 times higher than in the general population. So I wouldn't call it a lack of imagination. I would really call it ignorance. I would call it a lack of pragmatism, what has been happening in prisons in Canada. Other prison systems have made needle exchange programs available in prisons, for example. Needle exchange is something that we have done in Canada outside prisons for. So outside we tell people who use drugs, who inject drugs, if you inject, at least use a clean needle. And then when people get into prisons, they don't have that clean needle available and they have to go back to sharing injection equipment.
That was Ralph Juergens of the HIV-AIDS Legal Network. He's been looking into issues of HIV-positive people in prison for several years. I arranged to speak to both gentlemen following the Concordia University Community Lecture Series on HIV-AIDS, held on January 24th. The title was Le HIV se porte bien dans nos prisons. Now, given the rate of HIV and hepatitis C in our prison system, shouldn't the prison population simply say no to drugs? Since drugs must be hard to get in prison, shouldn't the inmates take that opportunity to get off drugs? You know, to go cold turkey.
People use drugs for a number of reasons. Most commonly, they are coping mechanisms. Drug addicts do not choose to be drug addicts because it's fun and it's a great high. They may start out using drugs for those purposes, but the drugs become a way for them to cope with things in their lives that they don't have any developed coping skills for. Once you're addicted to drugs, I mean, it's not your rational mind that is in control. And very often they continue to use drugs, and especially in the case of heroin, to ensure that they don't get dope sick.
Mm-hmm.
And being dope sick can be very, very nasty, and in some cases, almost fatal. Drugs do exist in every prison in this country, and they will always exist in this country. Mm-hmm. We have people that have been bringing massive quantities of drugs across one or more international borders, and now these people have 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year to figure out how to bring in something that basically resembles a stack of nickels, which is heroin, in across a double chain link fence.
It is very, very likely to transmit a hepatitis C virus even with sharing injection equipment only once with a person who has hepatitis C, and transmission of HIV is not automatic, but it's much more likely than through sexual activity. It's fairly easy to transmit HIV through sharing of injection equipment.
Our prison system must have the most advanced drug treatment programs anywhere. Since methadone treatment is almost only continued if it was started on the outside, other things must be in place. You have a captive audience. The addicts can't get away.
Because addiction is very different for pretty much everybody, but certainly there are culturally specific issues, gender specific issues around addictions. You can't just have one stock format, and that's exactly what we have.
Outside, they can't get the treatment that they need. Many people who use drugs are attempting to get into treatment programs, and they can't get that treatment. At the same time, we lock thousands of people who use drugs up in our prisons. They spend years and years of their lives going in and out of prisons, and it's just crazy because prisons are really not the right place for people who use drugs. Prison systems are not the best place to deal with the problem of drug use. And society needs to face the fact why people use drugs and why many people, many of us, use drugs and don't have any problems using drugs, and other people use drugs and do have problems. Prisons are just not the right place for treatment. Treatment should be done outside for people who need treatment. And then many people who use drugs don't need treatment and shouldn't be imprisoned in the first place.
Since bleach is available in most institutions, wouldn't that be a cheap way to solve the problem?
In prisons, people have to shoot up quickly. They're under supervision. They're under strict supervision. So often they only have 3 or 4 minutes where they know that no correctional officer will walk by their cells. And so there's going to be 8 or 10 people in a cell, and they all have to shoot up in that time. So they simply don't have the time to flush their equipment with bleach before they hand it to the next inmate.
For a lot of these guys, they are drug addicts, and once that drug is in their hand, they want it in their body as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So that reduces their inclination towards taking any more time to do that than is absolutely necessary. The longer it takes them to ingest those drugs, the higher the chances of them being caught. And when you put those two things together, you have a very deadly or potentially deadly combination.
Needle exchanges have been tested in prisons in other countries like Switzerland, but wouldn't that encourage drug use among inmates? Wouldn't guards be faced with drugged out prisoners all the time?
There's been no risk to staff, and there's really a documented reduction in the transmission of HIV and hepatitis C in those prisons. Actually, I was speaking to a correctional officer in a Canadian prison last week. She said that she felt that needles should be made available and that it would increase the safety of correctional officers, that needles would not be used as weapons, and that they would, by making needles available, the environment of the prison would be safer for everyone, not just for the people who would use the needle exchange. The
needle exchange program is not giving in and saying, we're not going to fight this. Yes, drugs are still illegal. They are doing nothing to put the tools necessary for these people that are choosing to use drugs to protect themselves. Something like 97 or 98% of people in our institutions right now will be coming back out into this community. So if they're engaging in non-safe practices while they're in an institution, when they come out and they meet somebody's son or daughter it's highly unlikely that they're going to begin engaging in safe practices. And we have to remember that these are somebody else's son or daughter, brother, sister, mother, father, and that they are human beings, and that they do have a right to be safe. The fact that they have a medical issue, a health issue, which is addictions, which is their addiction to drugs, is not enough, nor is the fact that they committed a crime, however heinous, against our society. It should not be a sentence of death inside our institution.
Getting tattooed seems insane to me, given the risks of getting HIV or hepatitis C in prison. On the outside, at least everyone is safe and clean. Why don't they just wait until they get out?
Well, tattooing is a very ancient and multicultural art, and it's very much a badge of honor for many men that go into the prison system, whether it's in juvenile or in the federal prison system.
Yeah, cool.
Tattooing guns are made from the motors of tape decks, and the needles are developed from either beading needles or the high E string on a guitar or any number of other things. I personally have a tattoo that was hand-picked in with a sharpened stapler, and the ink was made from chess pieces, the soot from melted chess pieces, and soap. Without the proper equipment, Hep C in particular is the one that is spread most readily through unclean tattooing equipment. Mm-hmm. However, HIV can be spread as well. Tattooing is going to happen. It's a rite of passage for many people in our prisons. And
condoms, lubricant, and HIV testing is available in most institutions. Therefore, sexual transmission must be really, really rare, right?
And part of the stigma around being tested is that you can only get this disease in one of a few ways. Since most male inmates in institutions are not likely to be consuming breast milk, or vaginal fluid for the most part, that only leaves us blood transmission and semen transmission.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the eyes of their peers and the establishment, and even to families, that either puts them in the category of an intravenous drug user or a man having sex with another man.
More or less acknowledge that they are engaging in sexual activity, which continues to be forbidden in prison. So we've always been recommending that condoms and lube should be available discreetly in places where prisoners can pick them up without being seen by anyone, neither by fellow inmates or by any staff in the institution.
It's not uncommon for us to hear that, yeah, condoms are available, but they're in an area where if I go and see it, staff will be able to see me getting them, and
right.
I don't want to be seen getting them. If it's in a high visibility area, it reduces the number of people who would be most willing to actually go and get them.
Prison systems closing the eye to sexual abuse, the extent to which prison systems close their eyes there is voluntary sexual activity in prisons, but there is also sexual abuse, and that is not being tackled with.
HIV-positive prisoners have access to treatment in prison, but alternative therapies such as vitamins, for example, are not available, despite evidence that they would help patients combat the disease and the side effects from their medications. Medical appointments can get missed if there is a staff shortage. Some difficult issues come up, which may cause HIV-positive inmates to suffer needlessly.
The system is not quick to hand out any effective pain medication,
mm-hmm.
because it is marketable inside the institution. And very often when somebody goes looking for a more effective pain medication, they're considered to be drug-seeking.
If you need to know more, contact the HIV/AIDS Legal Network on their website at www.aidslaw.ca. If you want to use their resource center, you'll need to make an appointment by calling 514-397-6828, extension 224, and ask for Thomas. Solutions to these problems need to be found yesterday. Otherwise, we do have the death penalty in Canada. It's just slower. This has been Michael O'Keefe for CKUT 90.3 FM.